This is the Hockey News Podcast.
Hello, everybody. It's the Hockey News Podcast, and it's the one I'm sure you all have been waiting for. It's the Stanley Cup Final Preview. We're going to go through the Vegas Golden Knights and Washington Capitals blow for blow and try to find a consensus, or maybe not a consensus, maybe just argue and argue over the series pick, here with Ken Campbell, Ryan Kennedy, before we send Ken off on his way to party like crazy. I mean, cover the Stanley Cup Final in Vegas.
I like to party all the time.
Is that a song?
Are you well, trying, no, Eddie are you Murphy singing Eddie had a song. Yeah, yeah. My girl likes to party all the time.
Great track.
Party all the time. Party.
Do you know that song's 30 years old this week?
You know
week?
What? You know wow. What was great about the 80s and 70s is you could be a star on TV and you could also have a crappy album.
So
like Donnie Most from Happy Days. Like the guy from Happy Days, he had an album. Like everybody had really, like they were all TV stars, but they all had crappy albums too. It was awesome.
Fun fact, I remember my parents had a Bruce Willis tape.
Nice!
What? Yes.
Nice! What? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I believe it was all covers, including Secret Agent Man.
Oh my God.
So if you ever want to hear Bruce Willis singing Secret Agent Man, it exists.
Jeez. Wow, that's ridiculous.
That sounds horrific.
Yes.
I'm kind of a sucker for party all the time. I kind of like it. I'm not gonna lie.
Really?
I don't know.
Really?
In a kitschy 80s way.
Kind of says a lot about
like,
you.
Like, put it this way, if you're gonna sit and listen to Rick Astley, like, then you can listen to Party All the Time. You know?
It's a you good know, there's track. Eight things that Rick Astley will never do.
Yes.
That's true. Here we go.
He'll never do.
Yeah.
He'll never.
You can get that on a t-shirt, too.
He'll never give you
a list.
He'll never let you down. He'll never run around. He'll never do all those other things that he's. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah,
that's
anyways.
True.
All
right.
And that's why they throw an octopus on the ice in Detroit. Because of the Rick Astley song.
Oh, boy. Well, let's get down to the series. We're going to break it down in a bunch of different categories. So let's start with offense. And to me, this is an interesting one because it's a matter of, do you like the top-heavy team with the powerhouse line that's been maybe the best line in the playoffs, Ovechkin and Kuznetsov and Tom Wilson, or do you like the death of a thousand cuts, the deeper Vegas Golden Knights?
Matt, can we just talk for a minute about how incredible this series is?
Oh, man.
Just like before we get to
story-wise,
the new
story-wise, yeah.
Just like... Hello.
Let's just slow it down.
Come on.
Yeah.
Like this is fantastic. I think this is going to be great for the NHL.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be fantastic for the NHL.
There's no bad results.
You know, and as I'm writing in a blog that will appear on the Hockey News website on Thursday today.
This podcast is running Friday, but you know.
Okay.
Yesterday.
Well, it appeared yesterday. Like, is it possible to cheer for both teams? Can we hope for both teams to win the Stanley Cup?
Yeah.
Because it's like there's no black hats in this series.
Yeah.
Right.
Like you got Washington, who's, you know, been trying forever. You got Ovechkin, who I think everybody loves and wants to see do well and everything. Then you got Vegas with, you know, all the cast off guys and dealing with the tragedy and everything. Like it's like two great stories. And George McPhee and Brian McClellan, the two GMs, played minor hockey together in Guelph.
Yeah,
like they're crazy. Both born in 1959. Both Guelph played together as little kids. Are really good friends. It's gonna like the storylines in the series are great. I think it's gonna be a. I think it's gonna be a pretty damn good series on the ice.
Yeah, they both went to Bowling Green together too.
Well, they both went to Bowling Green. They both won a Centennial Cup together with the Junior A team in Guelph. Yeah, they played with Ken Morrow, Mark Wells, a couple of guys who went on to win gold medals with the U.S. Olympic team. Their coach was Ron Mason. Former the
Michigan
dean
State.
Of coaching in the U.S. So yeah.
And what I like overall is that neither of these teams are too banged up. You know, like Backstrom's hand is getting better.
Yeah.
You know, you might have an injury here or there, but like if you watched that final game between Washington and Tampa, like Washington won on power and you know skill and motion and speed. These aren't two teams that are just like crawling to the finish line.
Right.
These are two teams that are like turbocharged.
Yeah,
they've still got a lot in the tank.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Vegas should be fine. I mean,
they've only lost three games.
Passed to the final of anybody in the last 300 years. Like it's unbelievable.
They've only
like
lost
like it used
three
to be
games.
The Islanders would like sweep everybody, but like they're 12-3 for God's sakes.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it is stylistically it is a really fun matchup. It is absolutely power versus speed.
Yeah.
Like if you're
a Mario Kart fan, it's Bowser versus Toad.
Nice.
Which is yeah, good, Bowser which is, versus Toad.
Yeah, see, that joke, that one's not for Ken, but it's for everybody else, right?
Ken only knows Bowser from Shauna Now.
And Arthur Fonzarelli. There's the Adam Sandler song. Okay, let's start with...
Okay, so let's start with... I hate to have hijacked the podcast on you.
No, but it's worth it because this series is just pure joy.
It's a podcast, Ken. We can't see it.
Yeah, that's like air quotes.
That's right.
That's right. Although you have a little bald spot. See you in the
side. Oh, wow. What happened?
I was born with that. Alopecia.
Wow.
Yeah. Cool story, bro.
True like story.
Wow.
Sorry, everyone. Sorry, readers. Wow. I mean, listeners.
Concussion problems and alopecia. Yeah. Wow, you've really been saddled.
Oh, boy. We're getting sidetracked. Five minutes and 39 seconds. We've got Mario Kart, Eddie Murphy, Bowser from Shanana. We're all over the place here. But in a good way.
Yeah.
Why not?
So who do you like better as an offensive team? Because there are merits to either team's structure and approach.
I like Washington. I just think they're more explosive. They have the best goal scorer of his generation right now, who just happens to be also playing out of his mind. I just they're both dangerous as hell. Like I to me the worst thing would be to score on Vegas early because it just seems like they quick strike right back at you, you know? You almost have to kind of rope it open them for a while and get them into the second period without any goals and then maybe score a couple. Like that's just the sense I get. But I mean, Washington's got the better power play. I think Washington has the better offensive players. I think Washington has the more dangerous players, you know, on the blue line as well. So I like, from an offensive standpoint, I like Washington's chances better.
Yeah, I agree. With the Capitals, they've been the better offensive team in the playoffs in terms of goals per game. And I always go back to, you know, if it's the last minute of a game and you need a goal, who scores it on your team? You know, like, who do you want to have the puck on their stick? With Washington, the answer is obvious. It's Alex Ovechkin. Now, I suppose with Vegas, you can say, well, Jonathan Marchessault.
Or William Karlsson.
So there are answers.
Things we wouldn't have heard a year ago.
Exactly. Shut up, says Dale Tallon. But...
Come on!
But yeah, I look at that top end. I look at Kuznetsov, and I mean, to have... You know, a guy like Kuznetsov not even be the guy most people are worried about is amazing to me because he's just such a smart player. He's so talented.
Yeah.
He's proven to be clutch time and again in his young career. And I just think it's such an asset for Washington. And with Nick Backstrom, it looks like he's getting healthier. Didn't have a wrap on his hand the last time they checked. I mean, I love Vegas's attack. I love that they can roll their lines and they get contributions from all different places. I think Alex Tuch has really proven himself to be a very good young player this season, and we'll see even more of him next year. But yeah, that top end in Washington is just deadly, and I see them as hard to stop.
Right. Yeah. I think I side with you guys, but to me it's closer to a wash. I mean, Washington's been the better offensive team in the playoffs for sure, but in the regular season, which is still the bigger sample size, Vegas was superior, and I don't think you can totally discount that. I know the playoffs is a different game, and I actually, I mean, John Carlson's great for Washington, but overall I like offensively what Vegas brings as a whole, the overall mobility from Shea Theodore and Nate Schmidt and Colin Miller. Vegas has four defensemen that have multiple goals in the playoffs, and they really push the pace. They sort of remind me of how Mike Sullivan used its defensemen in those two Penguins Cups, where they just push the pace so fast.
Yeah.
And they're probably actually more mobile as a group, because that unit was more about firing the puck up
by
the ice.
By the final, this group is more mobile than Pittsburgh's was last year. Like, yeah. Ryan Dumoulin was basically being held together with balls of tape and like wire and string.
Exactly. So I do like what Vegas can bring, and I think there are certain teams in recent memory that have shown you don't necessarily have to have the go-to guy to win the cup, like the 2011 Bruins.
Yeah.
I don't think had a true go-to guy. Mm-hmm. And same with, I think, the 2012 Kings, same thing. I mean, Kopitar, but not a scorer of Ovechkin's ilk.
Mm. Right.
So it can be done, but... I think I agree with you guys. And the thing is, too, I mean, Washington is not deep offensively compared to previous seasons. But kind of like the way Nashville uses their defensemen, they're playing Ovechkin's line crazy minutes by forward standards, especially Ovechkin. So if Ovechkin's playing 24 minutes in a game,
then it doesn't really matter if you're top heavy because the top is out there.
Yeah. That was a big deal, I think, in the last series because, you know, John Cooper was stubbornly sticking to, you know, 17, 18 minutes for Steven Stamkos and his top guys, and Barry Trotz just kept throwing his horses out there. And the great thing about Washington, too, is, like, they're getting scoring from everybody. You know, their fourth line is contributing, so,
Switching over to the defensive side. And again, to me, I see a real contrast. I mean, it looks like Vegas is, again, the deeper team. But, I mean, Washington's got the bigger stars. So who do you think has the edge there?
Well, I think that this is one of a couple of very, very, very key things that separates this Washington team from the teams that we've seen in the past that haven't been able to get it done. This team is much more aware defensively. They're much, much better defensively, much tighter defensively. I think as good as John Carlson has been, you know, with his numbers and everything, I think his defensive game has come miles. Like, he's playing as well as defensively as he was back when Carl Alsner was his defense partner. You know, and now it's Michael Kempney, right? I think that's the one area of the game. I mean, you know, it's hard to argue with a team that hasn't given up a goal in the last two games, right?
Yeah.
You know, they haven't given up a goal since, like, late in period two of game, whatever, five, right? So I think that, to me, that is the one of the key areas where this team is so much different than the teams we've seen in the past. They've really made some strides defensively. But in saying that, I think defensively, you have to give the edge to Vegas because they just, you know, they don't give out goals.
But I think that's, a lot of that can be attributed to Marc-Andre Fleury. In these playoffs, the weird thing about Vegas is they've been leakier defensively under the hood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were pretty good in the regular season, but they're actually giving up a lot more shots in the playoffs than they did in the regular season. But it's Fleury that's bailing them out. So
yeah, they're giving up almost 34 shots a game.
Yeah, so right I actually think that, that Washington has the edge on D in terms of just Vegas is leaking more than they did. And I think if you count physicality as defense, I think Washington, like as we've said, is the heavier, more muscly team. And I think when it comes to trench warfare and slowing the game down and making it ugly, winning ugly, I think Washington is a lot better at that than Vegas is.
Yeah, the one thing I'd worry about though, Matt, from a Washington perspective is the Golden Knights just beat a team like that really easily. You know, I think if you would pick two teams, one from the East, one from the West, that are sort of mirror images of each other, Washington and Winnipeg would be those teams.
Winnipeg better than Washington.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so, yeah. And Vegas was like, see ya.
Candace did the brush dust off.
They lose four games and then they win four straight. Or they lose the first game and then they win four straight.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm not sure how much that means or what any of that means, but I do know that Vegas just rolled over a team that was very much like the team they're going to face now.
Yeah, I kind of feel like Vegas's defense mirrors the offense in the sense that they seem to be able to just toss out anybody and it works as a cohesive unit. And I mean, Nate Schmidt has been humongous for them, leading them in ice time. And I like the mixture that the Golden Knights have where you've got Schmidt, you got Shea Theodore, you've got your puck movers, but then you've got your Brad McNabbs, your Derek Englunds, where they can be that, you know, nightclub bouncer in front of the net. They can make sure Fleury sees shots. They can deal with the Tom Wilsons of the world if they have to. And I like that, and I do see a lot of comparisons to the Penguins' defense of yesteryear, particularly with Chris Letang out, where they basically had to just do the minimum and do it right and let the Penguins forwards take it from there. And that's not a knock on that Pittsburgh D squad. They played it to perfection and they won a Stanley Cup because of it. Having said that, you know, watching these Capitals, I like the high end. I've been pleasantly surprised by Brooks Orpik and the way he has imposed his will so far in the playoffs. I don't necessarily think he's built for today's NHL, but I mean, he was a difference maker in that Tampa series. I think that you look at Kucherov in particular, like he was nothing in that series, especially at the end.
To say.
He was playing like a third liner.
Just useless.
I wonder if we'll find out if he was hurt or what.
Maybe, but he was a perimeter guy. Like, he just never went to the like Stamkos didn't produce, but at least he went to the middle of the ice.
Yeah.
At least he took the puck to the net. He just didn't get any results. Yeah. But I think Washington's physicality, whether it was Orpik or Oshie or Tom Wilson, and you go down the line, I think they really made Tampa Bay think, and that hurt the Lightning.
Yeah.
I really like what Dmitry Orlov's been doing. I think, you know, coming into the season, he had to be very good for them, and particularly in the playoffs, you know, with the minutes he's taken on, I think he's established that. And, you know, they're probably going to lose John Carlson in the summer, so for Orlov to step up, I think that is crucial.
He's been ridiculous.
He has earned earned his paycheck and his future paycheck. So for that, I give a slight edge to Washington, but it's very slight because I like what both teams bring to the table.
All right, goaltending. I mean, this is going to be huge in the series. Both goalies being outstanding. Fleury having the best playoffs by any goaltender since, I don't know, Jaguar in 03 or Jonathan Quick in 2012, right up there with some of the all-time performances so far.
He might have won the Conn Smythe Trophy already.
You can make a case.
Right. He's already won the Conn Smythe Trophy.
Unless he does what Pekka Rinne did in round two, getting pulled three times or something.
Right.
But you can make a strong case, absolutely.
Yeah.
But then again, Braden Holtby, he's been a great story too.
Mm-hmm.
So who do you think has the edge? Is it as simple as just acknowledging that Fleury's absolutely on fire?
Yeah. Hmm.
I think it's Sisov, myself, personally, because I think you've got two different things. You've got one guy who's playing out of his mind and is saving his team, his team's bacon, and providing that kind of lights out, ridiculous goaltending that teams like this would need to win a Stanley Cup. And then you've got another guy who's just playing and playing really well and being fundamental and just stopping everything and doing sort of what you kind of expect of him. I don't think either one is better or worse than the other. So I would say, to me, that's kind of a soft. If they both continue to play the way they have, it could be anybody's series.
Mm. With all due respect to back-to-back shutouts for Braden Holtby, I'm going to give a slight edge to Fleury, and it's through projection here because I agree they've both been really good lately. But Fleury's been here before. He has won a cup before. He knows what the pressure of the final series is like. I think Holtby is fantastic because he has that drive to win the cup. But now it's, you know, it's gut check time for him and the Caps. Whereas with Fleury, he can say, like, yeah, I've had my ups and downs. I've kind of seen everything in the NHL playoffs, including the highest of highs. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, yeah, the numbers speak for themselves with Fleury. So I don't think, you know, Washington has a dearth of goaltending by any stretch of the imagination, but I still give Fleury an edge there.
I lean Ryan's way as well. And I like the Holtby story. I love the way he came in with no pressure because he was coming in relief of the struggling Grubauer, and I think mentally that completely fixed Braden Holtby in these playoffs, as opposed to if he was starting game one against Columbus and had Grubauer breathing down his neck. So I think because of the fact that Holtby came in, I think it really helped him mentally. At the same time, it's not like Fleury is just coasting and the Golden Knights are dominating territorially.
No.
They're getting outshot often, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. Fleury, the more he's getting blitzed and peppered, mm-hmm. even the Jets poured it on at times in that series, the better Fleury plays.
Mm.
So I think he's on, he's cooking, it just doesn't seem to matter, and it reminds me a lot of Jaguar in 03. So I think it's okay to give the edge to Vegas here. Yeah. What about special teams? That's another weird one because it's funny how these teams are mirrors, like they're opposites in so many ways. And the Capitals have had a great power play in the playoffs. Vegas has been not so good in the power play. And Vegas has been pretty good on the penalty kill. Washington's penalty kill has been pretty bad. So what's more important?
Well, you know, Pat Quinn was never an analytics guy. He was the anti-analytics guy. But I remember he once told me, he said that what you want to do is you want to add your power play percentage to your penalty killing percentage, and you want to be over 100, okay? So if you look at these two teams, Washington in the playoffs, their power play is at 28.8%, their penalty kill is at 75.4. That is a total of 104.2. Vegas is 17.6 on the power play, 82.5 on the penalty kill for 100.1. So in that respect, Washington has an edge. All of it because of a hugely superior power play. Mm. And if I'm going to go into a series and I want to win the series, I'd rather be in Washington's spot where my power play is off the charts and my penalty killing is not so good, because your goalie can save you on penalty killing, you know, or you can just not take penalties, right? Yeah. But like to me, like I said, I would give the edge to Washington because I'd rather be in their spot. I'd rather have a power play that I know I can send out there and is going to be really dangerous every time, and then maybe give it up on the other side a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, these teams are both drawing penalties at a similar rate. I believe they're number 1 and 3 in the playoffs in terms of power play advantages. So I don't expect that to really change. You know, you figure it's probably going to be a pretty even series. I'm sure the refs, whether consciously or not, you know, they're not going to have a huge disparity of calls there. So I like Washington because you've got Ovechkin in his office at the top of the circle there. And even though every team in the league knows that he's going to go there, nobody seems to stop him, particularly in these playoffs. He's still been open there. So I would prefer to have the Caps power play.
I'm going to call it a wash. And this even surprised me because I agree in theory that you can trust a loaded power play to deliver more often just based on the talent. But I crunched the numbers last year looking for correlations between cup champions and what they do in special teams over the past decade. And there's a much stronger correlation between good penalty killing in championships than there is power plays in championships, good power play in championships. Mm. So based on that, I'm going to go with the team that has the better penalty kill, or at least considered a wash. I don't think special teams are going to decide the series is a good way to put it.
Right. Okay.
And an intriguing category is coaching. Both these guys are here for the first time. I mean, Barry Trotz seemed like the guy that was never going to win the big one, made it to his first round 3, and all of a sudden he's in his first round 4, and Gerard Gallant's never been this far either, of course. Who do you like?
I'm going to give the edge very slightly to Vegas on this one, only because they just play the same way all the time.
Mm.
All the time. And you're powerless to stop it. You know, because, I mean, if teams don't know how Vegas approaches the game by now, you know, they wouldn't be this far in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, puck pressure, speed, and frenetic play constantly, whether you're up a goal, down a goal, up 2 goals, down a goal, first period, third period, nothing game in February, Stanley Cup final game in June, they play the same way all the time. And they're true to that. And it's funny because I think they have the edge because they're not overcoached.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right, right.
Like, I think you could make the point in a lot of cases. I think Toronto was overcoached in the first round. I think Tampa was a little bit overcoached last series.
Uh-huh.
And you're always looking for the matchups. And when you're always looking for those matchups, you look down at the end of the game and Steven Stamkos has 17 minutes of ice time. And I don't, like, I think the edge is, and as funny as it sounds, I think the edge that Vegas has is that they're not overcoached. So they do have the edge in coaching for that reason.
Yeah. I'll agree. I'll give the edge to Gallant. I mean, the way he's pulled that team together in 1 year is fantastic. The way he supports his players. I know there was a clip that came out, I believe last week, where he was saying, you know, if a guy makes a bad play, I don't get on him and bench him. I show that I have confidence in him so he can go out there and make a good play. And I think, you know, it's a fantastic way of looking at things if it's working, and clearly it's working in Vegas. I will say, you know, Barry Trotz doing the fast lap before game 7 when he went out during the skate of the practice, I thought that was fantastic. I think that was a great motivator for Washington.
I tweeted last night, I think I can beat him.
Oh.
I think I can beat him. I'm the same age as he is. He's born July of 62. I'm born November of 62.
Mm.
I don't know, but from looking at that lap, I think I can beat him.
Nice. It's a challenge.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll see about it. Also, but I duck Trot's point. I know you were pointing out that Holtby had the pressure off of him when Grubauer started, but Washington almost lost in the first round because Grubauer was in net.
Yeah, I mean,
so I'm going to dock Trotz points for that. Don't overthink it.
They were down 2-0. I said they were going to lose, and this was going to cost Barry Trotz his job.
Yeah.
And to me, I think coaching is the area of the series that has the most defined advantage. I mean, Gallant is coach of the year. He's going to win the Jack Adams. You got to give the edge to the Jack Adams. And I think
which means look at employed into you.
Yeah, of course. But if you look at all the factors that made Vegas' season magical, and you were asked, looking at the entire thing, to pick the one strongest influencer on the entire roster, it's Gerard Noel. Yeah. He put the stamp on the way the team plays. And I think because of the fact that they win as a committee, you can't say they won because of, I mean, William Karlsson was fantastic and Marc-Andre Fleury in the playoffs, but I think most people say they win because of the way they play, yeah, not because of who plays.
Whereas right.
Washington wins because of who plays. It's a lot easier to say, Ovechkin, get on the ice, go score.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Than to manage guys like Nate Schmidt and find ways for these Eric Hallas of the world to blossom. And they didn't blossom in other environments. So I think you do look at coaching as the influencer there.
Okay.
So I give it to Gallant for sure, with all due respect to Barry Trotz, who's also a great coach. Now let's go with intangibles. And this is where you can say whatever the hell you want, your gut feeling, which is really fascinating because these are both teams of destiny, it seems.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the fun part about the finals. Sometimes each team seems to have a magical story to it.
I mean, they both have a ton of intangibles, but how can you not give the edge to Vegas in intangibles? How can you not?
Yeah, yeah.
How can you not? I mean, expansion team, Stanley Cup final, end of story.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's more an intangible, that's more a reason to be excited. I'm talking about intangibles that are going to help a team win. So like, we're an expansion team in the Cup final. Are you saying that's an intangible for Vegas?
Well, it's just, I think that's, they've kind of ridden on that sort of intangible.
Nobody believed in it.
And I think I don't even think they believe it. Like, what do you say about sports psychology? It's about lying to yourself and all that.
It's about lying to yourself and others.
Yeah. I think, you know, like Vegas has tried to, craft this narrative that these were a bunch of ragtag, you know, ne'er-do-wells who nobody had faith in us and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
No, first of all, half the teams tried to engineer the draft so they didn't lose players to them. And, you know, so
but they traded guys,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, but what I'm saying is that these guys aren't a bunch of stiffs, you know? They got, and I think that's part of what makes Vegas so good is that, okay, they don't have the 1-2 guys, but they don't have the number 11 and 12 forwards either.
Right.
They got a bunch of 6-7 guys, you know, and they got a bunch of 3-2, 3-4 defensemen.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big part of the reason why they've been successful. You know,
yeah, they don't have a Dan Girardi or a Roman Polak.
Exactly.
Sorry,
exactly.
Guys.
Yeah. But I think just, you know, when you take into account how Vegas and the organization responded to the tragedy, how they did everything this year, how they played that narrative and everything, it just seems to me that Vegas, you know, the Fleury story, the whole everything, I think it's loaded with intangibles that I think gives them the edge in that department.
Yeah, I'll give Vegas the edge. I disagree about, I think they were a ragtag bunch. And, you know, when you talk to the Knights, especially early on in the season, they said, yeah, like every one of us was like rejected and cast out by our team, whether it was through the draft being unprotected or through a trade where they directly said, we'd rather get rid of this guy than lose this guy.
Yeah.
They had a huge chip on their shoulder and they used it in a positive way. They had money on the board like every game because everybody was facing, you know, every night they were facing a team that somebody used to play for. I think that was a great motivator. They bonded really well. You know, the city and the atmosphere, I think, propels them and they've become so ingrained already. And Derek Englund obviously has played a huge role, you know, being a Vegas resident there. Having said that, like, you look at Washington and you look at the fire they're playing with. And I look at guys, not only Ovechkin, but Tom Wilson, I think, has been huge. And I know people talked about, you know, the fight in Game 7 as like, oh, it was a terrible idea. No, the Caps loved it. And you got to look at the result, which is that, like, they they kept going after that. And they kept taking it to Tampa Bay. The Lightning they didn't have an answer for that kind of passion and emotion. And, you know, I mentioned Norbit before. I look at, and Kuznetsov is another guy that I think stealthily, just like, he's there. I think he has a very nice effect on Ovechkin on the bench.
Yeah,
you know, you see it when they cut to them. He's just like, he's on the right vibe. You know, even though he's younger than Ovechkin, I think, you know, they've got a good wavelength going there.
It's pretty clear that Ovechkin and Backstrom admire each other very, very much.
Totally. yeah. So, yeah. I mean, you got all that. And, you know, I kind of look at this as like a swarm of bees versus like a pack of wolves. You know, like Vegas, they're just all over you all the time. And, you know, with Washington, a little more beastly. Mm-hmm. But in terms of intangibles, I would give Vegas an edge in that. But let's not discount Washington and the emotional role they are on right
but
now.
But wouldn't a swarm of bees beat a pack of wolves?
Well, like, but the wolves can eat the bees.
Look, they eat the bees.
Yes.
That's what they would do.
But then they get stung in their mouths
and their stomachs.
No, stomach acid, man.
Do you want to eat some bees and find out if it works?
Okay, what would you rather do?
Would you rather sting
a
wolf? A
swarm of killer bees or a bunch of wolves?
I think most people would say the wolves, but I'm afraid of bees, so I'd probably choose the wolves.
You would be torn apart by wolves?
Or, like, suffer a horrible, slow death.
You don't
want to
be Macaulay Culkin at the end of My Girl.
Killer bees?
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. But here's the thing. As soon as the bee stings you, it dies.
Yeah, okay. Mm. Yeah, all right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we're going to leave you with that one.
There you go. Mutual of Omaha.
The one thing I'm wondering about intangibly that is possibly changed for Vegas is they're not the underdog in this cup final.
They aren't.
And now everyone loves this story so much. We're so close to the Miracle on Ice 2 being finished. Is there suddenly now pressure on Vegas to finish the job? Because they've come this far, and Washington was the team that was the perennial choker. And it seems like once they beat Pittsburgh, suddenly they're just free. And they're playing like a team that. And even when they got down in the series to Tampa and they fought back, right?
Yep.
So I do wonder if it will change Vegas's mentality because of the fact that they're expected by many more than ever before to win the series.
Right. I mean, statistically they were favorites against LA and San Jose too.
Right. But I feel like pundits were still picking for May. But
but you don't get to brag. You don't get to brag about anything with Vegas. You don't get to, okay? You don't get to.
Because I
think we all know why. Yeah. It's the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Well,
you know what? The elephant in the room is that you said they were going to have 10 wins by New Year's.
But can I also throw you under the bus and say that your catchphrase this entire season has been Washington are losers because they lose.
Right, yeah. And that's what they do. They lose.
Yes.
And that makes them losers.
Yes.
Ken burns me as if I'm the only guy who said Vegas would suck.
And you just did air quotes.
Everybody. Oh, damn it, the air quotes. Jeez, we need a visual aid. Okay, it's clear just going through each of these categories that I think we all see this series is very close.
Yeah.
So time to make your pick. I'm gonna go last because I don't even know what my pick is yet. In this minute, I'm gonna decide.
You're the guy at the restaurant.
For the third time in NHL history, the Stanley Cup Final is going to be decided in overtime of Game 7.
Ooh.
And in perfect poetic justice, Alex Ovechkin's going to score the game winner in Game 7.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to go a different way. I'm going to say Washington in 6. A little more anticlimactic. I think they'll be tight games, but I just feel like Washington is they're fiending for it. And I think that's going to push them over the edge.
I'm going to say Vegas in 7, home ice making the difference. And also just, I think people can't forget how dominant Vegas has been in the playoffs. 12-3, they've given us no reason to doubt them. They've been invincible.
Well, they're the only team that where home ice has meant something.
Yeah.
They're the only team in the NHL where home ice has actually meant something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. And they've just been so dominant. And especially like Winnipeg, I thought Winnipeg was the best team still in the playoffs.
Oh, absolutely.
Vegas just ran through Winnipeg. Yeah. So I think Washington's been great too, but I'm going to stick with the team that's been the most dominant in the playoffs, so Vegas in 7. Now it's time to just watch the games.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I picked both of these teams to lose every series to this point.
I picked Vegas to win in the second round against San Jose.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I took Washington to lose.
I think
every
I took
round.
Washington in the first round, and that's it.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody, enjoy what should be a really interesting series. Thanks for listening.